third year going into reading it. This is the first year that I'm going to actually use the NIV version, because I've used the King James version the first 2 years, but I'm going to try it in a different version. But I pray that you're inspired and that you really take the time to let it minister to you each and every day. It's 15 minutes, and it has truly, truly, truly been a blessing. And every single time you hear it, something will transpire. And I'm not sure if you have read it, but it's really interesting that this year, the way that it's utilized, they have a devotion. And there's a question or two that they pose for you to contemplate and for you to consider as you're reading the Bible for the day. And that's also been a very instructive tool that I hope that you guys take advantage of during the year. But this is it. This is the new year, 2024. And as Pastor Elaine said, today is the day that the Lord has made. And it's funny about the new year, because just yesterday, or just 2023, it now becomes old. It's a former year. It's the past. It's yesterday. But this is the new year. And my daughter, she's now getting close to 13 years old, and she reminds me often, "Daddy, you're getting old." And I'm like, no, I once heard that 30s is the new 20. I mean, 40s are the new 30. Uh-oh, shoot. 50s are the new, it just goes on and on. We are both being inspired and youthful every day. So I pray that this message blesses you. I pray that it inspires you. I pray that it excites you as you go through this new year. And because today is the day that the Lord has made, I want you all to turn with me in your Bibles to Lamentations chapter 3. Lamentations chapter 3. It's the book of Lamentations. Although it's not specifically stated in the King James Version, a lot of scholars have said that this is written by written by Jeremiah. In the Amplified Version, it tells you it was written by Jeremiah. But in Lamentations, very familiar verse, let's start at verse 22. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22, the Amplified Classic states as follows. 22, "It is because of the Lord's mercy and loving kindness that we are not consumed, because his tender compassions fail not." And in verse 23, it says, "They are new." What is new? His mercy. "They are new every morning. Great and abundant is your stability and faithfulness." Very familiar passage. Every single day of life is Jesus, the Lord, giving us mercy. So while you have your Bibles, most of you guys have it on your phone. First interactive part of this first year. Go to your calculator in your phone. And inside your calculator, I want you to type in the number 3, the number 6, and the number 5. In your calculators, type in 3, 6, 5. You all know where I'm going. Click the multiplication symbol, and then insert how old you are. Oftentimes, we don't like to advertise our ages in years, but this is specifically something else. The 365 represents the number of days that you have been living. And if your birthday is today, the number that pops on your phone is just how many individual mercies the Lord has shown you. That number is the number of mercies that the Lord has given you up to today. And if your birthday is not today, then you actually have more than the number on your screen. Truth be told, if it's your birthday because of the leap year, you even have more than what's on your screen today. Think about that. My number, and I'm not ashamed to say it because I'm 45 years old, is 16,425. The Lord has shown me mercy specifically, actually, physically, 16,425 days that I inhale, I exhale, and I'm able to walk another day on this earth. And I thank my Heavenly Father for that opportunity, and each of you should thank him too. Because although it's the new year, his mercies are day by day. So we don't wait until the new year to make a resolution. We don't wait until another 365 days passes before you decide to do something new with your life. Each and every day, you should say, thank you, Father, for another sign of mercy. And the thing about mercy, and it's new. That word new, just like New Year, is something special. Why is it special? Because it's new. Everyone here knows what it's like to receive something new. For men, once upon a time, it was a fade. But it could be a new pair of shoes, a new outfit, a new car, a new job, a new place to live. Anything generally new, you have some sort of excitement for. Everything new. And the opposite of new is old or former or previous. And sometimes we kind of look down upon those old and those former and those previous items that were once replaced with the new thing. So my new shoes replaced my old shoes, and I'm now happy about the new shoes that I have to be able to wear on my feet. And I thought that was cool. And the thing about it being cool is the fact that each one of us here has experienced it. I know you've experienced it. I know you've experienced it. And because of this, and I Lord, try to give me things, help my mind, like the pastor says for him, help my mind, because the Lord tried to, he actually went and took me through different generations to find out how we used to say the word cool. I'm like, Lord, what are you doing? Like, we need to talk about the Bible. But he said, stay with me, son, and tell this to my people. So back in the 1950s, the word cool, they used to use the word gassed. I don't know, I wasn't around, but you gassed up in the 50s. In the 60s, it was groovy. Same word, new concept, and the former concept, and those born in the 50s may still use gassed in the 60s and going on, but it was just interesting to see the delineation as the times went on. In the 70s, it was da bomb. Where did that come from? In the 80s, it was off the hook. Y'all remember these? I remember these. In the 90s, it was fat, P-H-A-T. That sometimes shows new. In the 2000s, it was slay. They slayed it, or she slayed it. I don't remember all these, but this was interesting to me. And then I've heard it from my daughter. In the 2010s, they started using the phrase lit. Lit. So these are all the things that are new. Every day is new. Every year is new. These things are new, and we appreciate being new. And so I'm starting off with, think about something in your life that you received new that has transformed you. What have you experienced that transformed you? And again, it's going to be something new that transforms you. Was it an accessory? A tattoo, a piercing, body art? Was it traveling to a different location that changed you or transformed you? And again, these experiences don't always have to be good. There could be some negative experiences in your life that have transformed you, losing a loved one or experiencing loss. So it's not just the fact that it's positive, but new is both positive and negative. How's that? Thank you, Father. It's new is positive and negative at times. But what has transformed you in life? Was it the time that you accomplished something, a diploma, a degree, a second degree, a third degree? Was it a career that you got hired in and that career transformed you? Was it some follower? What transformed you? Because what I want to get to is the fact that in the Bible, we should all want to be transformed. And we all should want to experience the new creation. And that's my title for today. This is the new year, but Lord, I want to be a new creation in 2024. And the thing about, I said, because you don't have to wait 365 days to experience this, this can be ongoing. So don't just stay today, but I want to be a new creature, a new creation for my Heavenly Father. And the reason why I started this off by saying that the Bible throughout the year was quite interesting, because if you notice, for the past 4 or 5 days, it ended with the same scripture. Did you guys pick that up? My wife had to point it out to me. I did it, but my wife said, honey, why is it the same? I was like, that's my message. Hallelujah. The last verse for the last 4 or 5 days has been 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 17. So let's all turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 17. If you've been reading it all throughout the year, you've already heard it 5 or 6 times. But I want to go there and kind of break it down, slow it down, because oddly enough, although it's the last scripture for the past 4 days, it's only been that scripture. So it kind of comes and goes pretty quickly. So 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, this is a book written by Paul. And we know that Paul was transformed and became a new creature in his Damascus road experience. We also know that Paul wrote the prison ministry. We know that Paul was imprisoned. 2 Corinthians, Paul is speaking to the church. Second Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any person is engrafted in Christ, the Messiah, he is a new creation, a new creature altogether. The old, previous, moral and spiritual condition has passed away. Behold, the fresh and new has come. Therefore is a conclusion, it's a decision that something happens. So you have to go back a few scriptures to find out what the therefore is. But we're not to focus on the therefore right now in the sake of time. Therefore, if any person, this is a promise. And one very important thing about that two-letter word, one of the smallest, most important words in the Bible, if. Therefore, if any person, it doesn't matter your race, your social status, your financial positioning, your rank, it doesn't matter who or what you are. If you are a person, this scripture and this promise is to you. If any person is engrafted, and I had to stop because engrafted took me a while to digest. That one word was very difficult. I tried to look it up, and quite honestly, because it has a prefix, in, and it has a suffixed ed, I had to like go into the graph. Well, what is graph? And when I started to study what graft is, it really, truly amazed me that that was the choice of word used in this scripture at this time, directing to this topic of being a new creation, because graft is essentially like a medical terminology. It's something that you insert or you implant. It's a piece of healthy skin or a bone or a healthy organ which is attached to a what? Damaged part. We are born in sin and iniquity. We want to be a new creation. The Lord is telling us if we are engrafted, the graft, if the damaged part is that iniquity, if we are engrafted to repair that with the Lord's Spirit, we can become a new creation. And that was amazing because you and each of us has that promise to any person. Now, it does say something very careful. The next two words are very important. Grafted how? In Christ. In Christ is different than with Christ, to Christ, for Christ. There could be all these other prepositions that they use, but you have to be engrafted in Christ, which is the Messiah, because he is a new creation, and he can create a new creation altogether in you for the old, your previous moral and spiritual condition to pass away. That's the great message of regeneration, resurrection. That's what the Lord can do for each and every one of us. If we were to be engrafted in Christ, we will be a new creature, going from death to eternal life. And that's what was interesting about the new creature. Again, this is new year, new creature, new creation. So keep this concept as we go along, because they're telling us that the old, and old is simply yesterday. Old is simply last hour. Old is simply before. From the present to the future, anything contrary to that is old. So that means it doesn't matter your past. It doesn't matter what you did in the parking lot before you got here. This morning, last night, New Year's Eve, and all that. Because if you will allow the gift to be engrafted in Christ, you will be a new creation. I thank you for that, because some of us think that our former self has prevented us from receiving that promise. And that's the devil telling you that because of what you did, you can't. And that's a lie from the pit of hell. Because the Bible says if any person is engrafted. And so we're asking for you to have the desire, for you to have the fourth path to be a new creation in Christ. All right? Because the old will pass away. What is old? The pride, self-reliance, things that we think that we could do of ourselves. That could be old if we're to do things in Christ. If Christ is in us, then he will direct our path. And so I'm praying that you will desire to have a living in Christ to go forward into this new year, 2024. And again, remind you, each day you could press reset. At each day. So the last part of this scripture says, behold, the fresh and the new has come. So we are going to be a new creation. And because we're going to be a new creature, the Bible pointed me to another metaphor written by Paul. And I want to talk about that metaphor. And that metaphor is with clothing. That's why you got to come to church as opposed to watching it online to see what's going on over here. What I have done is put on a piece of cloth. My mother knows exactly what this is. When I was at USC, I pledged fraternity, Kappa Alpha Psi Fraternity Incorporated in 1998. I was the rock number 4, crossed the sands, 11:55:05. And if you see, there is some other insignia on this jacket that represented what I desired and what I had at the time online and after. And in that fraternity, I was a different cat. So when I asked you, what experience did you experience in life that transformed you? This is one of the experiences in my life that transformed me. And the reason why I'm wearing it is because the Bible talks about putting on and putting off. What? He does. Because when we change into something, like I said, those new pair of shoes, that new fade, that new dress, sometimes we get a new low confidence. We get a new swag. We get something new happens and transforms in us just the mere fact because it's new. And when I put this jacket on, something transformed into me while I was at USC. And so what I want you each to do is to think about what transforms you. What do you put on, or what have you put on, or what do you keep on that prevents you from being the new creature in Christ? Because sometimes the things we wear, the mindsets that we have, transform us. And the thing about Paul, like I told you, that he wrote these things in prison, and I'm going to Ephesians, the Lord dropped to my head, it's often also not just what we wear, but we can put on an environment. We can put on a label that someone has given us or we've given ourselves. We can put on a circumstance. And sometimes when we put those things on, it transforms us without us really truly knowing that. So I want you guys to think about it. What do I put on? What environment am I in voluntarily that can transform me? Because when you put it on at the club, at the bar, at the job, at the house, at your homies, sometimes we change, but we are to be a new creation in Christ, led by Christ. So let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. I'm sorry, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22. Ephesians 4, 22. Ephesians 4, 22, Amplified Version 22 says, strip yourselves of your former nature, put off and discard your old, unrenewed self, which characterized your previous manner of life and becomes corrupt through lust and desires that spring from delusion. Strip yourselves of that former nature. Verse 23, and be constantly renewed in the spirit of your mind, having a fresh mental and spiritual attitude. And finally, verse 24, and put on the new nature, the regenerate self, created in God's image, God-like, in true righteousness and holiness. So in those three scriptures, if you do highlight, think about it. If you want to annotate, think about it. But there's three concepts in each of those three verses I want you to kind of be mindful of. In verse 22, is to put off. In verse 23, is to be constantly renewed. And in 24, it is to put on. And the reason why we're going to talk about putting off or putting on, my study shows that this is the regenerate. This is the resurrection. When we go into the water and we're baptized, we're out of the water, signifying the exact same thing that Jesus did when he was crucified, because our sins were on that cross and we became a regenerate of that sin and iniquity. So we have to put it off. That's the old man yesterday, the day before, put off that person and to be constantly renewed. Now, the interesting thing about being put off is sometimes the church does just that. We put off, and then we stop right there. Like, I put off that jacket, but is Kappa Alpha Psi still in my bones? Just because you put it off, don't stop at putting it off. Because once you put it off, you just started the re-transformation process. So don't get excited after you put it off, because that's step one. Some of us sometimes stop, oh, I don't do that anymore, so I'm good. I don't go there anymore, so I'm good. I don't have that thought anymore, so I'm good. That's the put off mentality. And some of us are beguiled into remaining content with the put off. But that's not enough, because you must be constantly renewed in the spirit. Because just because I don't have that jacket on doesn't change the inward person. And we are here to change the inward person, not just the outward appearances that sometimes people get caught up in the church by magnifying and glorified by, the outward appearance. That's why he says God knows your heart. Because we get tricked by the outside. Because we put off what you thought was your hindrance. But you have to put on. You have to put on that spirit. You have to put on that fruit. You have to put on love. You have to put on joy. You have to put on gentleness. You have to put on patience. You have to put on working through your regenerated creation, because the Lord promised that he would transform you, engraft you, and once you put it on, you are constantly renewed. So what does that mean, minister? That means that it doesn't make you perfect. You will still sin. You will still have that thought. You will still have that temptation. We still physically look the same. Our minds are susceptible to those previous, old, former nature. That's why it is so imperative to be constantly renewed. That's why we have 14,625 days of mercy, because I'm constantly being renewed of my former self, my yesterday, my last year, my 1998. And so I want you and each of you to remember that, to be constantly renewed. Don't let yesterday or what's in the rear view stop you from being that new creation. Don't let it stop you from putting on and living in Christ and having Christ move through you, walk through you, talk through you, take you places, and you will experience the joys that God promises. And the best joy of all is eternal life, to be with you. So that is it. Don't want to be long. I want you to think about this. I want you to understand the prefix re, R-E. That's newness. That is repent. That is the resurrection. That is renewing of the spirit. That is regeneration. That is reconciliation. Praise God for the opportunity of another day, of another mercy, to constantly renew and to live in your spirit and to put on you, Lord. Show my wife, my child, my friends, my coworkers, you, Lord, because I should be operating as the new creature, because you have transformed me when you gave me the gift of the Holy Ghost. You had me speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave it utterance, and that was a transformation of your Spirit in me, engrafting, so that I can live in your Spirit. And one thing I wanted to say to those that have yet to experience the speaking in tongues, that doesn't stop you from renewing your spirit. It doesn't stop you from putting off what is holding you back, and it doesn't stop you from putting on Jesus. Because once you do that, that faith is going to convert into the speaking of tongues. Once you accept it, once you know it's for you, once you realize the absolute faithfulness and the mercies of God to give us another day. And let me just say, because sometimes we often think of people being taken away from us, and it's a sad loss. But do you still realize you received each day with that person? The memory is not lost. The time is not lost. Yes, the physical interaction may be somewhat taken away, but you can still renew in your spirit the good time that you had with that loved one. Jesus died at 33 and a half years old. For those of us older than 33 and a half years old, hallelujah. I thank you, Father. And so I want this message to resonate. I don't want to jump and shout and all that kind of stuff. I want you to think about consciously making the effort to put off whatever the old, formal, lustful nature that you have. Take it off. Not just take it off, but after you take it off, put on Christ. Put on his nature, put on his glory, put on his love so that you can dispense it to others. And so whether you have the Holy Ghost or you are seeking the Holy Ghost, you are constantly renewed. And so constantly renewed says a constant opportunity. And I'm gonna stop right there. So if there's anybody here in the audience that needs a renewal of the Spirit, you can have that today. If you're seeking the Holy Spirit, you can have that today. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I am glad, Father, that you've given me another opportunity to praise your name and to receive your Spirit. I pray you for your mercy to give me the opportunity to put off that old former nature that has been holding me back. I pray that you take off whatever is preventing me from moving forward in your spirit. And I ask you, Father, that I am constantly renewed. My mind is renewed. My spirit is renewed. My thoughts are renewed. My interactions are renewed. My anger is renewed and removed. My patience is renewed and increased. I pray that my faith is renewed and increases. I pray that my understanding is renewed each and every time I open up the Bible and read the scriptures, Lord Jesus. I pray that my discernment is renewed. I pray that everything that you present me with is renewed, whether it's positive newness or a negative newness, Lord Jesus. I pray that I understand that the newness is another opportunity to inherit and to be engrafted in your spirit, Lord Jesus. So engraft me, Lord Jesus. Take over that damaged part of my mind. Take over that damaged part of my thought process. Take over that mentality. Take over that addiction. Take over that putting down. And engraft in me, Lord Jesus, your spirit. Because it is with your spirit that will get me to heaven and to see you. You give me each and every day with new mercies. Let me not take it for granted. Let me not take it as it's a, you get it already, you'll do it again. I got another 1,000 opportunities. No, Lord, let me be mindful of the urgency in expecting your spirit to reside in me. And if I haven't had your spirit move through me, Lord Jesus, I'm asking that you renew it, Lord Jesus, and you utilize it in a greater, more powerful, and more impactful process in my interaction, Lord Jesus. Because you've given me your spirit, so I have no other excuse. I can do all things through Christ. There is nothing too great for you. There is nothing too serious for you. There is not a big enough sin that you didn't take to the cross back on Calvary, Lord Jesus, and I thank you for doing that. I ask you to renew in me a good, clean, pure heart.